Tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, Parshas Va'era. The title of the shir tonight is The Role of Tomorrow in the Plagues. So tonight we're going to look at an idea that keeps emerging throughout the Makos and many different Makos. Moshe decides to say machar, that the plague will happen tomorrow, it'll end tomorrow. So the idea of tomorrow, the concept of machar, mentioned in a bunch of plagues, many plagues, we're going to try to understand why that's important, why that's essential to the idea in the Makos. So if you look in source number one, the first time we see this idea, this concept of machar, is in Svardeya, in the Maka of Frogs. And it's Shmos Perek Chaf Ches, sorry, Pasuk Dalet. And I'll read through the psukim and then we'll ask the questions. It says, Vayikra Faro Lemosha Laron Vayomer Hatiru Ladoshem Viasera Tzvardim Mimeni Umi Amiv Ashalcha Esa'om Vizbechu Ladoshem. So Paro is getting sick and tired of these frogs, and he calls to Moshe and Aaron, and he says, plead to Hashem to remove these frogs from me and my people, and then I'll send the nation away, the Jewish people away, so that they could sacrifice to Hashem. So Paro is very desperate to stop this plague. Vayomer Moshe lefaro, hispa'er alai, lemasai atir lecha velavadecha ulamecha lehacharis atzvardim mimecha mibatecha rak bayor tisha'arna. So Moshe says to Paro, triumph over me, be proud. We'll explain what this means in Rashi. Tell me when you want me to stop this plague. When do you want me to destroy all the tzvardim? Tell me when you want me to daven and for this to end. And the Svardim will end, and you'll just be left with, they'll be left in the river. Vayomer lemachar, vayomer kidvarecha, leman teda, ki ein kadoshem elokeinu. So Paro says to Moshe, end this plague tomorrow. He doesn't say now, but he says tomorrow. And Moshe explains that it'll happen as you explain it, as you want it, in order that you know that there's no God like Hashem, like our God. Okay, so Paro says to Moshe, instead of saying, get rid of Tzvardeya right now, he says, Lamachar, tomorrow, V'saruah Tzvardim, imechami batechum, yavdechum, yamecha, rak bayor tisharna. And Moshe explains that tomorrow, all the Tzvardim will retreat, and they'll be removed from your homes, and from your servants, and from the whole nation, and they'll only remain in the river. V'yitze Moshe v'aron min paro, v'yitzak Moshe al adoshem, al devar hatzvardim, asher sam v'faro. So Moshe and Aaron leave, and Moshe davens to remove the tzvardeim, the frogs. Vayas Hashem kidvar Moshe, vayemusu atzvardeim min abatim min achetzeros min asados. So Hashem does as Moshe davens for, and he removes the tzvardeim from the homes, the courtyards, and the fields. Vayitzbru osam chamarim chamarim vatzev asha aretz. And they heap up, and they form these piles, these dead frogs, but they stink, and they smell really bad. They destroy, they create a stench in the land. And Paro felt a sense of relief, and his heart hardened. He hardened his heart, actually, and he didn't listen to Moshe and Aaron as Hashem had predicted beforehand. So in the Makkah of Tzvardeya, Paro is very desperate, but even though he's desperate, Moshe does this weird thing where he says to Paro, tell me when you want me to get rid of these Tzvardeim. And Paro says, tomorrow. He says, lemachar. And that's the key. If you look in source number one, Pasuk Vav, it says, vayomer lemachar. Paro says, tomorrow. And Moshe obliges and says, yeah, tomorrow Hashem will remove these tzvardeim. And then he davens. And then Paro ultimately achieves relief. So the question is, what is the role of Moshe here in asking Paro when he wants them to end? And why does Paro choose Lamachar? What's the idea of Lamachar? And as we go through the shir, we'll see that the idea of Machar exists in other Makos as well, that it should happen tomorrow. But the idea of tomorrow, the first concept, is in Svardeya. What is the relevance of Moshe? Or what's the concept? How could we explain why Moshe said to Paro, when should I stop this Maka? And Paro's choice of Lamachar, what's the meaning of that idea of Lamachar? So that's what we're going to. So there's a big machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban on how to learn this, question that Moshe is asking Paro and the idea of Lamachar. So we'll take up Rashi first. So Rashi says in source number two, Pasuk Hey, Hispa'er Alai. So Moshe says to Paro, Hispa'er Alai, be proud and take pride. Kimo ha'yispa'er ha'garzen ala chutzev bo. Should the axe triumph over that over he who heweth with it? Mishtabeach lomar ani gadol mimcha. Should it boast I'm greater than you? Venter belaz. In French, it's venter. L'espaer. Espar means to be proud. V'chein hispaer alai. Hishtabeach l'eschakim belishol davar gadol v'lomar shlo ucho lasos. So Moshe is challenging Paro, according to Rashi, and he's saying that try to outsmart me and try to give me a challenge that you don't think I could fulfill. So that's what Moshe is asking. He says to Paro, hispaer alai. L'masai atir l'cha, when should I daven? So he's challenging Paro, and he's saying, Paro, give me a challenge here, and try to give me a time that you think that I won't be successful in trying to predict. So Paro says, so if you go to the next Rashi, L'masai atir l'cha, Eis asher atir l'cha hayom al hachrasus ha-tzvardim, L'masai tirtze she-yachrisu. So Moshe says to Paro, I'm going to daven today, but you give me the time that you want me to daven for them to be destroyed. Vetira im ashlim devari lemoi chitikvali, and you'll see that whether or not that which you told me, the time that you told me, whether it comes true. Ilu namar, so this is where Rashi takes off here. He says, Ilu namar masai atir, if the pasuk just said, masai, when should I daven? Hayamashma masai espalel. It would have sounded like, when should I daven? Masai espalel. Akshav shenemar limasai, for when. Mashma ani hayom espalel alecha shiichersu atzvardim lizman shetikva alai. So it sounds like Moshe is saying, I'm going to daven today for the removal of the tzvardim, when you tell me to daven for. The time that you tell me, that's what I'll daven for. Amor le'ezi yom tirtze shiachrisu. Tell me which day you want them to be destroyed. So Atir, so that's the first point. The first point of Rashi is that he seems to say over and over again, and I didn't quote the other Rashis, but the Rashis after, there's two other Rashis on this piece, where he seems to be emphatic that when Moshe asked Paro, when should I destroy the Tzvardim, or when should Hashem remove this Makkah, Paro says to him, daven today for the future. And Moshe says, okay, I'll daven after we speak. I'll daven today, and I'll daven for a time period in the future that it should be destroyed, that the Tzvardim should be destroyed. And he's insistent on that concept. So we have to understand, and he mentions it again and again, so we have to understand why is it so important in this story when Moshe challenges Paro that it be set up that Moshe's davening take place on the day that Paro tells him. And he has to daven for a future date. So let's say it was Sunday. He was speaking to Paro on Sunday. So what Paro is saying to Moshe is, I want you to daven on Sunday for the Makkah to end on Monday. So Rashi's explanation is that he's very specific and strict that the davening should take place the day before, and it should predict in the davening when it's going to end. So we'll explain this. You'll see it further on as we go through the shir, but there's a machlokas about that point. So now he says something different, which I want to take up as a side point. He says, "Hatiru atir." Keep going back. Go back to Rashi. Atir hatiru v'hatarti. So the word atir atar is mentioned in hifil form. V'lo nemar atar isru v'asarti, which is kal form. Why? B'mnei shekol lashon asar harbos pilelhu. Whenever the Torah uses the term Asar, ayin tof resh, it means a lot of davening. V'chasher yomar harbu arba v'hirbesi lashon mafil, and it expresses it in the same binyan, as in the same grammatical form as the word harbe. Kach yomar atir hatiru v'hatarti devarim v'av l'chulam hatartem aleha devrechem hirbisem. So the general rule is asar, the word atar or vayaser, means to daven a lot, and it always means an increase, a lot of it. And you see this in Rashi, look in source number 3. So what is this idea of asar? Is there a deeper idea? Does it just mean more tefillah? So we see it by Yitzchak also. It says, Vayatar Yitzchak l'nochach ishto, and then it says, Vayasar lo, that Hashem nispatzer v'nispayes v'nispase. So it means that Hashem was urged, and he was convinced by Yitzchak, and eventually Rivka was pregnant. So it uses the same terminology of vayi'asir, asar, as it uses by Paro and Moshe. So the first point I just want to mention this year is, what is the idea of asar, a tefillah? And Rashi says over there in source number 3, the omer ani kol lashon asar lashon haftsara v'riboy. Same thing, it means heaping, a lot of, like a lot of davening. V'chein, v'asar anan akitores, by the cloud of the Ketores, it says, Marbis alai ha'ashan. The smoke is too much. So Marbis, it's too much. V'chein v'atartem alai devreichem. There's too much. Your words are too much against me. V'chein ne'asaros neshiko sone. The kisses of an enemy are importunate. Domos lemerubos. They're similar to many. V'hinam lemasa. And they're burdensome. So Rashi keeps saying that whenever the Torah uses the word asar, when it says vayaser, and it says here, Paro says atir lecha, and Moshe also uses the word asar as well. So it always means a lot, daven a lot. So what is this idea of davening a lot? Is it just mean the normal tefillah but more of it, or is there a qualitative concept that we can attach to the idea of atira or asira in the Torah, whenever it uses the term vayaser? So I saw this medrash, and it might be a little different than Rashi, or it might explain Rashi as to what the nature of tefillah is when it's referred to as atir or vayaser. So the medrash says vayaser Yitzchak, vayetar Yitzchak. It's going on Yitzchak davening for his wife. V'lama nimshala tefilason shel tzadikim ba'asar. So the medrash says, why are the tefillah of tzadikim compared to an asar? Lomar lecha, ma asar ze mahafich es ha-tefua begorin. So an asar is a shovel. Just like a shovel, it turns over the crops in the threshing floor. Kach tefilason shel tzadikim ba'asar. Shehi mahafich es midas hadin u'midas rogez l'midas harachamim. So too, the tefillah of a tzadik functions like a shovel, in that it overturns the midas of rogez, the midas of anger, and midas adin into midas rachamim. So the word, the medrash says that the word asar doesn't just mean a lot of, but it also is an idea in a shovel or some type of device that they would use to overturn the crops, to turn them over from one side to the other. And it's trying to highlight an idea about the tefillah of tzadikim, that the tefillah of tzadikim is comparable to a shovel in that it overturns. It's utilized to overturn Midas HaDin and turn it into Midas Rachamim. So what is the idea of Asar? So based on that, so it sounds like Asar, or the word Vayetar, is a different concept of tefillah. It's not just Riboy, it's not just the idea of a lot of tefillah, but what is the concept? It's a concept where the tefillah is really trying to fundamentally change the way that God is intervening, the Hashgacha that's being expressed. When man wants a fundamental change in that hashgacha, then the term vayaser is used, vayetar. And that's the idea of a tefillah of asar. It's not just a person who's davening. Let's say I want a new bicycle. So if I'm davening for a new bicycle, that's not atira, that's not asar, that's not that type of tefillah. I'm not asking for there to be a fundamental change in the hashgachas Hashem from midas harachamim or midas adin to midas harachamim. But normal tefillah, a person's mevakesh for what he needs. He's not asking for an underlying reversal of fortunes. But the idea of atira is it's a certain quality of tefillah where the tzaddik or the person davening is his gearing and targeting his tefillah to an underlying fundamental change in the way God is relating to either to you or to somebody else. So it's really a more essential, fundamental, oppositional type of tefillah, where a man is trying to really transform the Hashgachas Hashem from one type of Hashgacha to a qualitatively different type of Hashgacha, from the quality of Midas HaDin to the quality of Midas Rachamim. So I think that's an important concept just in learning. When you're learning the Torah and you come across the word of Atira or Vayaser or Vayetar, it's mentioned in different places, it's a reference to that type of tefillah. It's the type of tefillah which, yes, it demands more of, it's more tefillah, but it's not just a quantitative differentiation between regular tefillah to this tefillah. It's a qualitative distinction where the person's davening for a fundamental change. And that's what Moshe was davening for. That's what Paro recognized, that the change in the makkah, the removal of the makkah, was a change in the Hashgachas Hashem from Midas Adin to Midas Rachamim. So that's why Paro and Moshe refer to this tefillah as the tefillah of Atir Lecha, or as Paro says, Lamasai Atir Lecha, Moshe says that to Paro. So that's why they mention or they recognize it as, and Paro says, Vayomer Hatiru Ad Hashem. Whenever the word Atiru, it's a recognition on the part, on the person asking for tefillah, or the person davening, that there needs to be a fundamental change in the Hashgacha from Midas Adin to Midas Arachamim. So Paro recognized that himself. that this was a situation where God was relating to the Mitzrayim through Midas HaDin, and he was asking for a change in that Hashgacha and that divine intervention to Midas HaRachamim. Okay, so I think that's an important point. But we'll get back to the first Rashi. We just that was a side point. So the first part of Rashi is insistent that Moshe, the Idiv L'machar in Tzvardeya, is that Paro and Moshe said that he was going to daven today, Sunday, that it should stop on Monday. So the Ramban in source number 5 argues with Rashi. And he says, L'masai atir l'cha, cause of Rashi, ilu namar masai atir hayamashma masai espalel. So if it just said masai, not le'masai, it would have meant, when should I daven? Akshav shenemar le'masai, ani ayom espalel. When it says le'masai, it means I'm going to daven today, alecha, with regard to you, sheyich resu l'zman shetikvali, that it should stop on the time that you establish for me. Emor le'ezi yom tirtza sheyich resu. So Moshe says to Paro, tell me the day that you want me to want them to stop. The alderech apshat be'ist filoso hayusaras hamakus. But the Ramban says that the pshat is that whenever Moshe would daven, that's the day that the maka would stop. Ki kasuv ayitzak Moshe ad Hashem bayas ad Hashem. Whenever Moshe davens, that's when the maka stops. The ein kasuv ayas Hashem imacharos. It doesn't say that Hashem stopped the plague the next day. The ein lashon lemasai raya sheispalu miyad. And the word lemasai is not a proof that Moshe davened right away. Ki hu kamo masai. It's the same as saying masai. When should I daven? V'rabu halamadim habayim kacha. So the lamids, there are many types of lamids that work this way. Lamachar yoso zeh. Lamachar means tomorrow. It doesn't mean for tomorrow or should I daven for tomorrow. It means tomorrow. It's the same thing as machar. L'menayom asher yatzasam eretz Mitzrayim ad l'minchas ha'erev. Kinafa echad l'amos chamesh. V'rabim kacha. There's many different examples the Ramban brings in where the lamid doesn't change the meaning of the word fundamentally. So the machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban is when Moshe says lemasai and Paro says lemachar, was there an insistence that Moshe daven the day that Paro is saying for another day, or the Ramban says no, that Paro was basically instructing Moshe to daven tomorrow, and when you daven, that's when the maka was removed. So is the maka removed when Moshe daven? So if Moshe davens on Sunday, the maka is removed on Sunday. Or was the maka removed when Moshe wanted it to be removed? So he would daven on Sunday for it to be removed on Monday. So who cares? I mean, why am I bringing this in as a part of a shir? What's the difference in their two interpretations of what's going on fundamentally, conceptually, between Rashi and the Ramban as to how to learn the back and forth between Moshe and Paro and Paro's insistence and Moshe's insistence that he daven either Sunday for Monday or whether he davens on Monday to remove the plagues. What does it matter? Why is this such an important point that the Ramban argues with Rashi on this? It's not just a question in grammar, it's a question in concept and understanding. Okay, so we have to get to that. We're going to answer that. And one last point in the Ramban, and then we'll get to the machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban. So Ramban says, "V'tam lahachris at tzvardeim, remez lemisasam." So why does the pasuk say lahachris at tzvardeim, to destroy them? It's a remez to their death. Kaloshon v'nichrusah nefeshahi, like it says, by a person's going to be excommunicated or destroyed. It means their death. V'chrati la'achav. V'amar Moshe pamacheres v'saru hatzvardeim. In another place, he says v'saru, which means to retreat. They'll go away. Lamor kimiyachi spalo yasuru kulam. It means that as soon as Moshe davened, they would all be removed completely. Shlo yifachid Paro shiamusu ela v'yalu acher mina yor. So Paro shouldn't be scared that some of them would die, but others remained and they would come out again. Rak tasser amake lagamri. So Moshe was saying the whole maka is going to be completely gone. V'alfa pi shetish arna mehem biyor. Even though some will remain in the river, and the whole purpose of this was that Moshe should demonstrate that the Maka was only on behalf of Klal Yisrael from Hashem, and therefore it was going to be completely gone once the Maka was over, and Paro should not fear that the frogs would come back in the future and haunt him in the future. So that's the idea. So that's the second point, which we'll get to. But the main question is, what's this machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban? Okay, so Rabbeinu Bachya explains the machlokes, and he gives an explanation for Rashi, and then we'll explain the Ramban based on Rabbeinu Bachya. Okay, and then we'll try to get some deeper understanding into what the purpose of L'machar was in this story. So Rabbi Bachya quotes Rashi. He says, L'masai atir l'cha, perish Rashi zal, ilu nemar masai atir l'cha, yamashba masai espalo. So like Rashi says, if the pasuk just said, masai, when should I daven? It would sound like, when should I daven for you? Akshav sha'amar l'masai, once it says l'masai, ani hayom espalo l'cha, shichushu l'zman shetikvali. Same thing as before. I'm going to daven today, for the time that you established for me, for them to be removed. So he quotes Rashi. Vine Moshe, betseso me'im paro, hayam espalo miyad, shetasar amake l'machar. As soon as Moshe left Paro, he davened that the makah should be removed tomorrow. V'chein timtza b'makah sa'arov. You see this by Arov as well. Sha'amar, hinanochi yotzei me'imach v'hatartil ad Hashem besar he'arov mi'paro me'avadov me'amo machar. So, so too by Arov, Moshe says to Paro that I'm going to daven, and Arov will be removed tomorrow. Uchsiv, vayitzei Moshe me'im paro v'yatar ad Hashem. And it says by Arov that Moshe left and he davened. It sounds like he davened when he left for Arov to be removed, the wild beast, that's Arov, for Arov to be removed the next day. So Rabbeinu Bachya says that whenever Moshe left, he davened right away, that the Makia would be removed the next day. So he says this is a support for Rashi's interpretation. And it's a question on the Ramban, who says that Moshe didn't daven until the next day. The Amar ki lamed l'masai nosefes. The Ramban says that the lamed of l'masai is added on. It's not necessary. The chamohu, and then he quotes all the other examples. L'min ayom asher yatzasim meretz Mitzrayim, she'ilu yispalo bo b'yom, kasher sara hamake l'machar, hayero lomar v'yas Hashem kidvar Moshe mimacharas, v'chemen shel Amar kein nira ki b'shas tfilaso, haysa hamake mistalekes miyad. So again, he highlights the idea that the Ramban is insistent that when Moshe davens, the plague goes away. It doesn't go away in the future. It goes away exactly when Moshe davens. And then he says, once Paro said, L'machar, Moshe davened the next day, and then once he davened, it was removed. So the Ramban is insistent that Moshe's tefillah had to be connected to the removal of the Makkah, and according to Rashi, he's saying, no, it's the opposite, that Moshe davened prior to the Makkah being removed, and that it should be removed in a future date. So the Rabbeinu Bachya explains Rashi in the next paragraph. So what is the meaning of Rashi? He says, "Vinei kasu mochiach kedivrei Rashi, she'amar hinei anochi yotzei meimach v'hatarti el adoshem, v'lo amar v'hatarti el adoshem machar l'medcha bezeh she'techav she'yatzam miyad hispalel she'tasser makas arov me'avadav u'me'amo machar." So again, he says, by arov we see that Moshe davened right away. Once Paro started saying tomorrow, so Moshe started utilizing the principle that Paro set up, which is, I want it to start tomorrow, I want it to end tomorrow. He kept using it. It didn't stop right away. So too by Arov, before the Makkah started, he said, tomorrow the Makkah will start. And so too by Barad, he says, tomorrow Barad will hit you guys. By pestilence, by diseased animals. Same thing, it says, machar. Again, we see the word tomorrow, machar. Umash herich paro hamakeh harishona ad l'machar. So why did Paro want Svardea to end the next day? Chashav ki yiyah eis tzur hamakeh be'esahi miderech ma'arechas ha'kuchavim. So Paro maintained up to this point to Svardea that really Moshe was this great astrologer, and he knew based on the constellations how nature worked, and he knew that this was going to happen, that the frogs were going to come out. U'moshe ha'yodea eis hayamavakeh shiyomer lo Paro lahasir miyad. And Paro thought that Moshe was trying to trick him, that Moshe was really telling him, tell me when, and Paro was going to tell him today, because Moshe knew that the end of this astrological natural phenomenon would happen on the day that he asked Paro to, on the day that he was insisting Paro tell him, which Paro inferred was today. So Paro was trying to test Moshe out. The herech hazman al lamachar. And that's why Paro moved the date to Lamachar. V'heshev lo Moshe Rabbeinu v'amar kidvarachash liyasur hayom ad machar. So he says, no, you're right. So he agrees with Paro and he says, we'll wait till tomorrow. U'mizet tucha lahavin ki'ena makeh b'koach ha-mareches, rak b'koach Hashem Yisbarach. So he was trying to prove to Paro that the makeh was not a natural phenomena, and it wasn't because of some type of constellation or astrological phenomena, but rather it was from Hashem. So that's his explanation of Rashi. So what's he saying? What's Rabbeinu Bacha saying? How is he explaining Rashi? So really, the idea with the back and forth between Moshe and Paro was that Moshe was trying to give... Moshe understood that Paro saw this as natural, that really wasn't Meis Hashem. He was trying to justify it. Paro was trying to justify it. And he thought that Moshe had this great wisdom as to how nature worked. And in Paro's mind, Moshe knew through the stars and through his knowledge of nature that at this moment in time, the frogs would come out and they would completely terrorize society. And he knew exactly when they would go back. And that's why Moshe was insistent, tell me when you want it. And Paro was trying to outsmart him and say, no, this Lamachar, let's see if this is real or not. If Moshe is really just knowledgeable about how the natural world works and it's just an astrological phenomena, or it's really Meis Hashem. So according to the Rabbeinu Bachya, Rashi kind of makes sense because he's saying that Moshe was trying to, why was he insistent that Moshe daven today and it happened tomorrow? And Paro was insistent on that as well because Paro maintained that Moshe had some type of control or knowledge of the situation, and he was trying to separate Moshe and Moshe's actions from the Makkah itself, from the end of the Makkah. So in Rashi's interpretation, according to Rabbeinu Bachya, so he's saying that really Paro was testing out Moshe, and Paro was insistent in his mind that somehow Moshe had some type of intrinsic connection or some type of knowledge that that this would end now, and he's trying to test that. And the best test is by taking Moshe out of the equation and saying, okay, daven today, but I'll give you another date. I'll give you tomorrow or in 2 days from now. And by doing that, he was really separating Moshe from the outcome to see if this outcome was distinct and it had nothing to do with Moshe's knowledge, but rather it was Meis Hashem. And that's what Moshe is trying to prove to Paro. It is Meis Hashem. So that's why Rashi's insistent that really in this story and in general that Moshe is davening a day before the end of the Makkah, because he's trying to show Paro that Moshe himself has no control over this situation, that Moshe is not really... It's not because of Moshe's knowledge of the astrology, or Moshe has some type of sorcery or some secret abracadabra language that he could use to end it, but rather it's Meis Hashem. So the further removed Moshe's tefillah is from the end of the Makkah, the more it demonstrates Moshe's lack of control over this situation that's really removed from Moshe someone, and it's Meis Hashem. Because the idea that if Moshe were to daven and then the Makkah would end, it could also indicate that Moshe had some magical powers, because back then they had Chartumim and they believed in magic. So the whole idea of the end of Tzvardeh is try to prove that Moshe doesn't have any knowledge of this phenomena on its own. It's not a natural phenomena, and Moshe doesn't have a control. It's not a sorcery. It's not a magical event, but rather it's Meis Hashem. So the best way to prove that is by separating Moshe's tefillah from the outcome of the Makkah being ended or being destroyed, and the Tzvardeim being destroyed. So that's Rashi's interpretation. So the whole purpose of this back and forth was to demonstrate that Moshe wasn't a magician. He wasn't a sorcerer, and that it was Meis Hashem. But the Ramban says something very different. The Ramban says, no, that really every time the Makkah was removed, it had to be preceded by tefillah. And he insists that whenever that Moshe couldn't daven before the Makkah was removed, it had to be that on the day that Moshe davened, that's when the Makkah was removed. So why was he insistent on that? What's the Ramban's explanation of this story? So he has a different interpretation. So according to the Ramban, I believe, the Ramban maintains that Moshe, when he says to Paro, tell me when you want this to end, when you want Tzvardeh to end, he's really trying to show Paro that it's within Paro's control to end this whole situation. Because Paro shouldn't think that this is predestined, that this situation is, he's doomed, but he should recognize that it's within man's control to end the Makos. And the idea that, according to the Ramban, that Moshe's tefillah always had to precede at the end of the Makkah is the concept that Paro should see that man's perfection and that man's tefillah is what creates or what can end the situation. So Paro shouldn't believe, he shouldn't maintain that this is destiny, that he's doomed and this is his destiny, but he should recognize that it's within his control to end it. And that's why the Ramban's insistent that whenever Moshe davens, on the day of his davening, that's when the Makkah ended. There has to be a clear correlation between Moshe's tefillah and the end of the Makkah, because Paro had to see each time that the Makkah was ended, that it was within his control, was within man's control to end this. That this wasn't destiny, this wasn't fate, it wasn't something that he couldn't end on his own by doing tshuva. And this is especially true because most Rishonim hold that the first five Makos, Paro really had free choice, he had Bechira. And he really could have done tshuva, and he could have ended it on his own. So the question is, in the second Makkah of Tzfardea, the question is, what idea is Moshe highlighting through Lamachar? Is he trying to separate himself and trying to show Paro that he has no control over the situation, meaning Moshe, and that he's not a magician, he's not a sorcerer, it's all Me'es Hashem? Or is he trying to show Paro that it's within your control, that you really could end it? And Lamachar is trying to show him that. Lamachar is really that it's within your control. You can choose the day that you want this to end. Meaning if you daven, if you change your ways, if you do tshuva, this will all end. And Moshe has to constantly demonstrate that to Paro by attaching his tefillah, the idea of his tefillah, to the end of the Makkah. So there has to be, according to the Ramban, there always has to be a correlation between the tefillah and the Makkah stopping. Because it has to be recognizable in the eyes of Paro that this could end. That man has some control over the situation. It's not destiny. It's not his fate. It's not the fate of the Mitzrayim. But rather, this could be ended. This could end early. So I think that's Machlokas. So it's a fundamentally different perspective on how to view the idea of Lamachar in Tzfardea. Is the idea of Lamachar, as I said before, in order to demonstrate that it's Me'es Hashem and only Me'es Hashem, not Moshe? Or is the idea of Lamachar an idea of giving Paro control and showing Paro that you have control over this situation, you can stop this, and it's up to you as to when you want to stop this. And I'll prove to you that it's all up to you. You can determine the date that it stops, and I'll show you that my tefillah will stop it. So I'll show you that it's within man's control to end the Makos and to stop this destruction of Mitzrayim. So that's the machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. Okay, so I just wanted to just summarize. We're not finished with the shir, just a couple more points. But just to summarize, there's really just two points here. The first point is the idea of asar, which is the concept that vayetar or vayaser, they always mean the concept of a tefillah to change the underlying quality of hashgacha, a fundamental change, let's say from midas adin to midas harachamim. And the second idea is this machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban on how lamachar exists or presents itself in the Makkah of Tzfardea. Okay? So, now we're just going to do a couple more cases of Lamachar. And so according to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Bachya, Lamachar in all these cases is trying to express this idea that Moshe is not really the source of the Makkah and he's not really in control of the Makkah. So that's why Lamachar is used in all these situations. But according to the Ramban, we have to explain why Lamachar is used in other cases. In Tzfardea, it's used in order to give Paro control over the situation, but it's not so clear that that's the reason in other Makos, according to the Ramban. So let's try to understand, according to the Ramban, why Lamachar is used in other cases. So if you look in source number 8, we'll skip source number 7, the Svarno, and source number 8 is by Arov. By Arov, like the Rabbeinu Bachya mentions, Lamachar, the idea of Lamachar is used preceding the plague and after the plague. It says, Vesamti fidus bein ami uvein amecha lemachar yeh osazeh. So Moshe says to Paro, before Arov, tomorrow Arov will start. So the day before Arov started, he forecasted that it would start the next day. And then at the end it says, in source number 9, Vayomer Moshe, hinanochi yotzei meimach v'hatartil ad Hashem v'sar he'arov miparo mi'abadav u'mi'amo machar Rak al Yosef Paro Hasel Levoti Shalachas Al Mizboch Hashem. By Arov, at the end of Arov, also he says Lamachar. He says Umeamo Machar, that Arov will end tomorrow. So Arov is the only plague where he forecasts it Lamachar the day before it starts, and he forecasts it ends its end the day before it ends. So it's the only plague. In other plagues, Lamachar either precedes the plague or if foreshadows the end of the plague. But by Arov, it's by both. It's both before and after. So the question is why? What's the idea by Arov? Why is it by Arov that there's a concept of a machar before and after according to the Ramban, not according to Rashi? Because Rashi will say it's always the same idea, to distance Moshe from the plague and to show that it's not men Moshe, it's really men Hashem. But what's the idea? So I want to try a different approach. And the approach is, if you look in the Ramban says, Visar Harov in source number 10, Miparo Miabadov Miamo Machar, Kasher Amar Paro Vimakas at Svardim Lamachar. Just like by Paro in Svardea, he says Lamachar, Kain Ratza Moshe Lasos Gambizos, she spell of Yasru Machar. So too, Moshe wanted the same idea to daven the next day. So it could be that he's expressing the same idea as before, that he wanted to show Paro through his tefillah that it's within Paro's hands. So that's one possibility, and that could be the Ramban. And then he says, "Vinei sar ha'arov ha'alchu lahem, lo kasher yab tzvardeim." By the Arov, they were gone. They retreated back into the forests or wherever they were from, the desert. Not like by the tzvardeim. You know, Tam Shamu Rabosenu, Sheratza Kadosh Baruch Litzaro Samamakos. The reason that the Arov retreated and they didn't die like the Tzvardea was lo lehold am klal, because if the wild animals would die, they would take the hides and benefit. But by the Tzvardea, there was no benefit to their death. Umosh and Nishmar b'kach ba'amru ki amar lefaro lahachres atzvardim shir muslim isasam kimosh b'irashtu. So by Arov, the wild animals were retreated. They didn't die. But by Tzvardea, they died because Hashem didn't want the Mitzrayim to gain benefit from the hides of the animals. So that's the idea of why he says Visaru. But I had a different approach, I had a different possibility, different than the Ramban, for why Arov has both the concept of Lamachar and both the beginning and end. And maybe the idea is that the concept of Arov was also, it wasn't just physical, that the idea was that these wild animals, lions and tigers, whatever the wild animals were terrorizing the Mitzrayim and eating them and damaging them and killing them. But there was also a psychological aspect, a tremendous psychological aspect to the nature of wild animals. And the fear itself sometimes is greater than the actual pain. And I think that's the idea by Arov, that part of the nature of the plague of Arov was that it demanded an anticipatory fear, and the machar in the end, to close it off, to cap it off, was in order to almost torture the psyches of Paro and the Mitzrayim. Because a lot of times, the anticipation is worse than the thing itself. Like by a shot. When you get a shot at the doctor's office when you're a kid. So thinking about the shot and the future and going to the doctor's office is a lot of times what adds to the strength and the terror of the shot itself, as opposed to when you're not expecting it and then you just get the shot, so you realize that it's not so bad. So maybe the idea by Arov in specific is that the reason Lamachar is used by Arov, this is different than the Ramban, different than Rashi, but the reason why it's used by Arov is because Moshe wanted the fear of the wild beasts to be part of the plague itself. He wanted the anticipatory fear of the wild beasts that they're going to come out of nowhere and destroy you. And also at the end, he wanted them to think about it. He didn't want it to just go away so that they can move beyond it, but he wanted them to be fearful. And in fact, we see this because if you look back at source number 7 by the Tzvardea, Sforno says that Paro was able to overcome his fear because they were killed. And Moshe is trying to express that to him, that L'hachras HaTzvardim, Afa Pishlo Sar HaRa L'gamri, Shenishra Ba'ashas HaAretz, V'nishra HaTzvardim Ba'yor, Hamazikim Sham Od Hayom, V'achbedes Libo, Hisam Etzal Tivo. Even though the Tzvardim were still there, and there were many Tzvardim that retreated to the river, but nevertheless, Paro was able to overcome his fear of the Tzvardim attacking him again, and that's why he felt relief. But by Arov, Moshe didn't want Paro to feel relief anymore. He didn't want him to have the opportunity of relief. So that's why Lamachar, I believe, another possibility for Lamachar tomorrow by Arov is used, because the fear and the mental aspect of thinking about Arov and the wild animals is part of the plague itself. So I think that's a different idea, but that's the role of Lamachar by Arov. And then finally, the last point in this year is Lamachar by Dever and by Barad. So that it functions differently according to other Shitos, other Rishonim. So if you look in Dever, It says Vayasim, source number 11, Vayasim Hashem Moed Lemor Machar Yaseh Hashem Adavar Zeb Aretz. So he says by Dever it's going to happen tomorrow. So the Orach Chaim says that Dever was like Barad. He says in source number 12, Vayasim Hashem Moed Lemor Perish Hodio Usam Zman Hamake Kadeshi Yachnisu Hamiknem Hasados. Because so by Machar, by Dever and Barad, basically Hashem wanted the Mitzrayim to respond and he wanted them to remove their animals to see those who feared Hashem would remove their animals from the field and be saved. By Barad it says it openly. By Barad in source number 13, it says that that really forecasting Dever and Barad, Lamachar was a different idea altogether. Lamachar by Dever and Barad is so that the Mitzrayim would have an opportunity to demonstrate their loyalty or Yiras Hashem if they had it. So he was giving them an opportunity to do tshuva. So Lamachar functions in different places for different purposes. So according to the Ramban and Rashi, Rashi holds Lamachar in general is simply to remove Moshe from the Makkah. But according to other Shitos, the Ramban and other Rishonim, the idea of Machar functions in a different capacity in different Makos. By Machar, by Tzvardea, was to show Paro that he had control. And perhaps the Ramban holds that by Arov. But I had a different shot for Arov. Arov is the idea that Lamachar functions to add a mental component to the Makkah. And then finally, we see by Barad and Dever that Machar is to forecast the Makkah so that the Mitzrayim could respond appropriately and to give them an opportunity to do tshuva. So Lamachar, the role of tomorrow, that's the shir, tomorrow in quotation marks, is to demonstrate that the concept of Lamachar presents itself in many different makos, and it has different functions in different makos, and it functions either to, you know, to teach Paro the idea of Moshe being separated, not being tied to the Makkah, or showing him he has the power, or demonstrating that there's a mental aspect, or finally giving the Mitzrayim an opportunity to do tshuva. The last one I don't know, so if anybody has an idea, they can share it with me. But by Arba also, in 14, it says, Ki ma'ina tal shalech samih nimi vi machar arba bigvulecha. So it says by Arba that locust was also forecasted a day before it happened. So I'm not sure what the reason was for Arba. I'm not sure if it was practical so that the Mitzrayim could respond. I'm not sure if it was mental to give them an anticipatory fear because that was part of the Makkah. You could say that. Or I'm not sure that it was the general idea that Rashi says that it was simply that Moshe was trying to show that he's not really intrinsically connected. It's Me'es Hashem. So that's really the end of the shir. So let me just summarize. It seems like there's a lot of points, but it's really tied together. So the main idea, the main question is the role of the idea of Lamachar tomorrow in the Makos. And we see it playing out in different situations. But the first situation is by Tzvardea. And it's very interesting that Rashi and the Ramban have a machlokes on what the idea of Lamachar was by Tzvardea. According to Rashi, Rashi's insisting that Moshe davens today for tomorrow, and the Ramban's saying, no, Moshe's tefillah had to be intrinsically connected with the removal of the Makkah. So what's a machlokes? So we say the machlokes is Lamachar by Tzvardea trying to teach Paro that it's Me'es Hashem and Moshe has no intrinsic knowledge or power, or is Lamachar trying to show Paro that he has control? And if that's the purpose, according to the Ramban, it would be necessary to connect the tefillah to the end of the Makkah, because that's an idea in showing that man controls the destiny, the end, the fate of the Makkah. It's not predestined, but it's controlled by man. And Paro has that control, and he chose not to use it because he changed his mind by Tzvardea. And then we see that it plays out in different places and it has different functions. So you could say, even for Rashi and Ramban, that there are many ideas in the Machar, but I gave it a possibility by Arov that the idea of a Machar is that it's part of the Makkah, that the fear itself should be part of the Makkah itself. And by Barad and Dever, Machar was to give the forecasting, was to give the Mitzrayim an opportunity to change and to do tshuva and to listen to Hashem. And by Arba, we're not clear. It's not 100% sure, but it could be numerous different possibilities. But I just wanted to demonstrate how the term Lamachar is utilized in different situations. Okay, so that's really the end of the share. Any questions? Anybody have any possibilities or questions? Please ask. Okay.